Volume 47, Number 10 of The Friend Magazine for October 2017.
Friends by Mail. Easter Egg Fun. I had fun making peanut butter Easter eggs from the April 2017 issue with my sister. Thank you, friend. Lamont T., age 10, Hawaii, USA.
One in a million. We felt prompted to watch the One in a Million videos on the Friend website before we moved for a few months. We moved to Alaska, where Joey from one of the videos lives, and he welcomed us to the ward. Thank you for the One in a Million videos. Elias and Emma W., ages 9 and 10, Arizona, USA.
Geography and Cousins. We were reading a Friends by Mail letter and saw, and we have cousins living where those readers are from. Ben and Amelia S., ages 9 and 8, New Zealand.
How I Read the Friend. I visited the old military fort at Presidio San Francisco National Park and brought my friend along. It was very windy. Audrey A., age 6, California, USA.
Dear friends, it's never too early to get ready to go inside the temple someday. Meet some kids in France and Japan who got to watch temples near them being built, page 22. Then learn the temple song on page 24. Finally, make a handkerchief to take to a temple dedication in the future, page 35. What do you love about the temple? The friend. P.S. Two temples are being dedicated later this year. Go to temples.lds.org to find out which ones.
Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how.
End of this month's Friends by Mail. Read by Noah and Amelie Strongen and Sean Nelson.
Contents. Stories and features. From the First Presidency. Bread and Gratitude by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf. Sarah and the MRI. Family Night Fun. A Friendly Primary Visitor. Friend to Friend, Elder Perry, Chickens, and Me by Sister Bonnie H. Corden. Friends with Heart. Everybody's Buddy. Helping Gilly. A Brave Example, Part 2. Jane's Journey. Answers from an Apostle. Elder Robert D. Hales. From Paris to Sapporo. CTR Story, The Temple Dedication. Show and Tell, Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. For Older Kids. For Older Kids. Finding Lydia. Temple Trip Tips. Snacks and Crafts, Temple Crafts. Worthiness Worries. Helping Out, One Pencil at a Time. Music, Teach Me About the Temple. Things to Make and Do. Women Leader Cards. Fun Stuff, Conference Quest. Fun Stuff, Pumpkin Time. Church History Figures, A New Prophet. Fun Stuff, Find It. Friend Junior, for Parents of Little Ones. I Like to Help. Helping Mrs. Brewster. Matching Leaves. Stories of Jesus. Jesus Visited Joseph Smith. Coloring Page. Ashland's Family Tree. End of contents. Read by Van Farnworth.
From the First Presidency, Bread and Gratitude, by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the First Presidency. There's an old story of a waiter who asked a customer if he had enjoyed the meal. The man said that everything was fine, but it would have been better if they had given him more than two slices of bread. The next day, when the man came to eat again, the waiter gave him four pieces of bread. The man said he still wished he had had more. So the next day, the waiter gave him eight pieces, but the man still wasn't satisfied. Finally, on the fourth day, The waiter was really determined to make the man happy. So he took a 9-foot-long loaf of bread, cut it in half, and with a smile, served it to the customer. Instead of being grateful, the man looked up and said, "The food was good, as always, but I see you're back to giving me only 2 slices of bread." As disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, we are commanded to thank the Lord our God in all things. Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verse 7. If we focus on the blessings we think we are missing, it can make us unhappy. Choosing to develop a spirit of gratitude will bring us true joy and great happiness. Adapted from Grateful in Any Circumstances, Ensign, May 2014, pages 70 through 77.
Thankfulbit. For each letter of the alphabet, come up with something you're thankful for. Tim loses the grumps. Don't read the story yet. First, fill in each blank. The words under each blank tell you what kind of words to use. Then, read the story out loud. Then try new words and see how the story changes. Try having a friend write your words in the blanks before you see the story. End of the article, Bread and Gratitude, read by Dwayne Case and Margot Patello.
Sarah and the MRI by Julian Doman, based on a true story. When Christ was on the earth, he promised he would send the Holy Ghost to comfort us, our true eternal friend. Children's Songbook, page 105.
"It looks like Sarah will need to have an MRI of her back,"
said Dr. Frank. He smiled at Sarah.
"I'm going to schedule one for tomorrow. I'll be back in a few minutes."
Sarah's back had been hurting for a while. When she woke up that morning, it hurt so much that it was hard for her to stand up straight, and she could barely walk. Sarah and her mom had come to see Dr. Frank to find out what was wrong.
"Another MRI?"
asked Sarah, looking up at Mom. She'd had an MRI once before. She remembered how scared she had felt in the big tube that took pictures of the inside of her body.
"I'm sorry, Sarah," said Mom, "but the pictures will help Dr. Frank learn what's wrong with your back. I know you can do it, and I'll be right there with you."
Mom squeezed Sarah's hand.
"But you can't come inside with me."
Her head dropped and a tear slipped down her cheek. Mom could be with her in the room, but once Sarah went into the machine's tunnel, she would be alone. Mom put her arm around Sarah.
"That's true, but do you know who can be there to comfort you?"
Sarah remembered a name she had heard for the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Maybe the Holy Ghost could help her not feel so afraid.
"The Holy Ghost?"
Sarah asked. Mom nodded.
"That's right. You can pray for the Holy Ghost to help you. Dad and I will pray for you too."
That gave Sarah a great idea.
"Can I ask Dad for a blessing?"
Mom smiled.
"Of course. I know he'd love to do that."
That night, Dad placed his hands on Sarah's head and gave her a priesthood blessing. As he blessed her that she would be comforted by the Holy Ghost, a soft warmth filled her body. The feeling stayed with her all night. The next day, Sarah lay on the bench that would slide into the big tube in the MRI machine. She repeated in her head the words Dad had used during her blessing, "The Holy Ghost will be there to comfort you." Sarah squeezed Mom's hand tight. Then the nurse slid her into the tube. The MRI machine made funny noises while it took pictures of her back. Sarah had to lie very still so the pictures wouldn't be blurry. She panicked for a minute, but then she felt that warm feeling again. It felt like one of Mom's hugs or a snuggly blanket. She knew that everything would be okay. Before she knew it, the MRI was over. In Dr. Frank's office, he showed Sarah and Mom the pictures of Sarah's back.
"You did a great job lying still,"
Dr. Frank told Sarah as he knelt down beside her.
"These pictures of your back show that you will need surgery to help you walk better."
Sarah gulped.
We'd like to do the surgery soon,
Dr. Frank said, looking up at Sarah's mom. Then he turned back to Sarah.
It might take a few weeks afterward for you to feel like your old self again, but after seeing you today, I know you'll do great.
Sarah tried to think about all the things she'd do after Dr. Frank fixed her back.
I'll be able to run and swim and jump in a big pile of leaves.
She missed doing all those things, but surgery was even scarier than an MRI. Then Sarah remembered her prayers and her special blessing. Heavenly Father had sent her the Comforter. He would help her again. She looked at Dr. Frank.
Then can I jump in a big pile of leaves?
He grinned.
Then you can jump in a big pile of leaves.
The author lives in Colorado, USA.
Sidebar. When I was 5, I needed surgery to get my tonsils and adenoids taken out. I was really nervous and afraid. My dad gave me a blessing. After the blessing, I wasn't nervous anymore. And we were both happy because we felt the Holy Ghost. Annalise F., age 6, Utah, USA.
End of the story, Sarah and the MRI. Read by Kate Strongen, Austin Peterson, Amelie Strongen, Kara McClellan, and Ocean Patello.
Family night fun. Here are some family home evening ideas from this month's magazine. What other ideas can you come up with? Wrapped in comfort. The Holy Ghost is sometimes called the Comforter. Read Sarah and the MRI on page 4. When Sarah was comforted by the Holy Ghost, she felt like she was being wrapped in a blanket. How else can the Holy Ghost help you? Do this activity with your family. You could all wear blankets for this lesson. 1. Draw a picture of yourself lying down. 2. Cut several strips of paper. Write a different way the Holy Ghost can help you on each one. Hint. Read John chapter 14, verse 26, Moroni chapter 8, verse 26, Moroni chapter 10, verse 5, and Doctrine and Covenants section 42, verse 17. 3. Weave the papers together to make a blanket. Glue the blanket over the drawing of yourself. Apples in a blanket. Make these tasty edible blankets with your family. Be sure to get an adult's help. Apples sliced. 1 can of refrigerated crescent roll dough. Cinnamon sugar. Butter melted. 1. Separate the dough into triangles. Arrange the triangles in pairs to make rectangles. 2. Brush each rectangle with butter and sprinkle with cinnamon sugar. 3. Layer 2 or 3 apple slices on the top half of a rectangle. Fold the dough up from the bottom to mostly cover the apples. 4. Seal the edges and brush the folded dough with butter. Sprinkle with more cinnamon sugar. 5. Bake at 375 degrees Fahrenheit, 190 degrees centigrade for 12 minutes or until golden brown. Preparing for a priesthood blessing. Here are some tips to help you feel the Holy Ghost when you get a priesthood blessing. Turn off electronics so you won't be distracted. Say a prayer before you receive your blessing to help you clear your mind and focus on the Spirit. Listen carefully to the words of the blessing. How do they make you feel? More family home evening ideas. Look for these pictures in the magazine to find the stories and articles they go with. Find the page numbers below. Idea number 1. Get ready for a general conference by reading a friendly primary visitor. Draw a control tower and write down one thing the prophet has asked us to do. Idea 2. Read Ashland's family tree together. Then draw your own family tree. Who is next to you on your tree? You can also read Finding Lydia and tell a story from your family history. Idea 3. What temple do you live closest to? Farthest from? Read from Paris to Sapporo. Draw a picture of the temple to remind you to prepare to enter the temple someday. Bonus treat. Put 3/4 cup peanut butter and 1/2 cup honey in a pan. Cook and stir over medium heat until smooth. Get an adult's help. Remove from heat and mix in 3 cups oats or a favorite cold cereal. Spread the mixture in a square pan and refrigerate until firm. Is there a topic you'd like to learn about with your family? Go to lessonhelps.lds.org to find stories, activities, and media. End of the article, Family Night Fun, read by David Shaw.
A Friendly Primary Visitor by Kelly Owen, based on a true story. Follow the Prophet, He Knows the Way. Children's Songbook, pages 110 through 111.
It's time for our friendly visitor, Sister Palmer said.
Elijah could hardly stay in his seat. He was so excited.
Who will it be?
Whispered Lily Kate.
I don't know,
Elijah whispered back. Sometimes a special visitor came to primary. It was always someone different, but the visitor usually talked about a story from the Friend magazine. That's why Sister Palmer called him a friendly visitor. One time the visitor was dressed up like a farmer and read a story about a boy who took a watermelon without asking. Elijah stared at the door, waiting. All of a sudden, a tall man with a black helmet and vest came through the primary door.
It's a pilot,
whispered Brinkley.
That's my dad,
said Lily Kate. Brother Owen was a helicopter pilot. He asked Lily Kate to come to the front of the room and pretend to fly a helicopter with him. Lily Kate put on a helmet and safety gear, and she and her dad started to fly. They listened to the control tower on the radio, so they would know which way to go and where to land. It was so much fun pretending to fly through the clouds. Then Brother Owen looked at Elijah.
I have time for one more flight, he said. Do you want to try?
Elijah nodded. He jumped up from his seat and ran to the front of the room. Brother Owen helped Elijah put on his gear and flight gloves. They got ready for takeoff. But this time, Brother Owen said they didn't need to listen to the control tower. He said the weather was beautiful, and they knew how to fly. Elijah held out his hands like he was steering the helicopter. It was great. They made noises like they were flying through the air. Zoom!
Oh no! A tree! Look out!
Elijah tried to fly away from the tree, but it was too late. Brother Owen shook their chairs as they pretended to crash to the ground.
I guess we made a mistake, huh?
Elijah nodded.
I guess we should have listened to the control tower,
Brother Owen said. He turned to the other kids.
Do you know why it's important to listen to the tower?
So we can have a good flight and not crash into things, said Lily Kate.
You're right. The control tower has a computer that can see everything. The control tower tells the pilots if they're going the right way. They also make sure there's no danger ahead.
Like really tall trees,
Elijah said.
Exactly. And guess who is like a control tower for us? He helps us choose the right and teaches us important things in General Conference.
The Prophet,
one of the kids called out.
That's right. Like a control tower, President Monson can see the big picture.
Brother Owen held up a picture of President Monson from the Friend magazine.
He gets revelation from our Heavenly Father to help us stay on the right path. He warns us if there are dangers ahead. When we listen to our prophet, we can be safe and happy, just like the pilots who listen to their control tower.
Brother Owen gave the kids a salute.
Time to fly home.
Then he disappeared through the primary doors just as fast as he had come in. Elijah liked all of the special friendly visitors, but this had been his favorite one of all.
End of the story, A Friendly Primary Visitor. Read by Kara McClellan, Kate Strongen, Alyssa Peterson, Maya and Gabriel Reinwand, and Scott Christopher.
Building a Temple by Amy Jane Levitt. The Angel Moroni statue is made from fiberglass and covered with a very thin layer of gold. A big ring is attached to the top of the statue. A chain is attached to the ring, and the chain is hooked to a crane. Then the crane lifts the statue off the ground and carries it through the air. Workers ride in a metal lift to the temple's steeple. They install the statue onto the steeple, remove the chain and ring, and ride back to the ground. Fun fact: the statue has a lightning rod to protect it during thunderstorms. Join us each month to see how the Payson, Utah Temple was built. How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or paper heart, first, fill out the form below and send it in with your story or artwork. Second, send a school picture or other high-resolution photo. Third, we might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. And fourth, you must be at least 3 years old. The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, two boys are out trick-or-treating in their gigantic Halloween costume. One says to the other,
"Your mom is the best at sewing costumes. I've always wanted to be part of a three-headed cow from outer space."
End of the article, Building a Temple, read by Van Farnworth and Enzo Patello.
Friend to Friend by Sister Bonnie H. Corden, First Counselor in the Primary General Presidency. From an interview with Linda Davies. Elder Perry, Chickens, and Me. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. When you grow up on a farm, you learn that everyone has a job. As a 10-year-old, my job was taking care of our chickens. At first, the baby chicks were cuddly little balls of yellow fuzz. But then they grew into chickens. Whenever I fed them, they'd peck at my ankles. It really hurt. My father was serving as stake president. During that time, Elder L. Tom Perry came as the visiting general authority. He and his family visited our home, and we loved listening to his inspiring words. But the magic of the moment was broken when my mother asked, "Bonnie, have you fed the chickens yet?" I had completely forgotten about those chickens and didn't want to leave. But Elder Perry brightened up and asked, "Does someone need to feed chickens? Lee and I can help you." I couldn't believe it. An apostle would actually help me feed chickens. I grabbed my flashlight, and Elder Perry, his son, and I started walking. I knew the way, so when we came to a ditch, I knew I had to jump. But Elder Perry didn't know it was there, so he stumbled into the ditch and got his shoe wet. I was horrified. He was very kind, and we kept going. Soon we reached the coop, and the three of us fed the chickens. On the way back home, Elder Perry asked if he could hold the flashlight. "Bonnie," he said, "now I can see where I'm going too. Walking with your light, I couldn't see very well, so I fell. In a way, this light is like our testimonies of Heavenly Father. Each one of us needs our own testimony." What a perfect lesson from a wise and loving apostle. It is one I will never forget. End of the story, Elder Perry, Chickens, and Me, by Sister Bonnie H. Corden. Read by Kate Strongen.
Fun stuff. Conference Quest. Here's a game to play with your family during conference. Print or draw a copy of this activity for everybody. Fill in the empty spaces along the path with words from the list or think of your own. When a speaker says the next word on your path, move a coin or bead forward. No skipping spaces. CTR Shield. Conference helps us choose the right. Make your own cool CTR shield. 1. Use crayon to color the shield. 2. Cover over with black crayon as dark as you can. 3. Use your fingernail or a coin to shape a pattern. Print this page at friend.lds.org. Find more conference activities at gc.lds.org. End of the article, Conference Quest. Read by Pat Murray.
Friends with Heart, Everybody's Buddy. From an interview with Jordan Wright.
Hey, I'm Tyler. I live in Missouri, USA. I try to follow Jesus by being a friend to my siblings, kids at school, and anyone who needs a buddy. My family. I love my family. I have an older sister, Sammy, and an older brother, Spencer. Sammy is 4 years older than me, but we have a lot in common. I make up games for us to play, like the Taco Challenge. That's when you roll yourself up in the heaviest blanket you own and try to scoot across the floor to the other side of the room without unwrapping the taco. It's super fun. Spencer and me. I really look up to Spencer. He has autism, and it's my job to help him with his chores, like taking out the trash. I love to help tuck him into bed at night. When I learned to read, I started reading to Spencer. It's something we like to do together, even though we read the same two stories every time. Sometimes I imagine helping Spencer when I'm an adult so my parents can serve a mission. I like the idea of us being roommates. Following Jesus. When people meet Spencer, they don't always know what to say or do, but just smiling and saying hi makes him really happy. I think being kind is the main way we follow Jesus. The buddy bench. My school has a buddy bench where kids can sit at recess if they're feeling left out and need a friend. One day I saw a younger boy I didn't know sitting on the buddy bench. I asked him to come play with my friends and me. We walked around and talked. We all had a good time.
Tyler's tips for being a buddy.
Smile and say hi. Treat people the way you want them to treat you. Find things you can do together.
Send us a heart. How do you follow Jesus by showing love? Send us a heart with your story, photo, and permission. See page 39.
End of Everybody's Buddy, read by Miles and Daniel McClellan.
A True Story, written by you. Helping Jilly, by Brenda L., age 11, Washington, USA. A new girl moved into my ward when I was just starting fifth grade. Her name was Jilly, short for Jillian. Jilly was in my primary class, but she stopped coming to church for a while. One Sunday I called and told her that the other girls in my class and I missed her and hoped to see her at church again. We did see her at church again. Now I go to middle school and sit by Jilly in health class, along with two other girls from our primary class. I really enjoy being a missionary now and a friend. I like helping people feel happy and fit in. I want people to feel the Spirit and the same warm happiness that I feel at church. End of the story, Helping Jilly. Read by Amelie Strongen.
Fun stuff. Pumpkin time. 3D paper pumpkins. Step 1. Fold a piece of paper in half. Draw half a pumpkin shape along the folded edge. Cut it out to use as a template. Step 2. Fold 6 or more sheets of construction paper or cardstock in half. Trace the template and cut out the pumpkin shape for each. Step 3. Line up the creases of 2 folded pumpkin shapes and glue one half to the other half. Step 4. Keep gluing the halves together until you're out of the pumpkin shapes. Glue the last 2 halves together to complete the circle. Step 5. Spread out all the halves so the pumpkins can stand by itself. Glue on a stem made out of paper, pipe cleaners, or a stick. Decorate any way you want. Scrumptious seeds. Scrape out the seeds from a pumpkin or winter squash. Rinse out most of the pumpkin goop. Dry the seeds on a paper towel. Toss them in a bowl with oil and other seasonings. Spread the seeds on a baking sheet and bake at 325 degrees Fahrenheit, 160 degrees Celsius for about 25 minutes or until golden brown. Be creative with the flavors you try. Here are some ideas. Olive oil, salt and pepper, coconut oil, cocoa, vanilla, and white sugar. Vegetable oil, salt, cayenne pepper, chili powder, and lime juice. Olive oil, paprika, garlic powder, onion powder, and brown sugar. Be sure to get an adult's help. End of Pumpkin Time, read by Margot Patello.
A Brave Example, Part 2, James Journey, by Jessica Larson, based on a true story. New York, USA, 1843. Jane Manning watched the boat float from the harbor out to Lake Erie. She felt like her dreams were floating away with it. Just 1 year ago, she had joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and decided to move to be with the other saints in Nauvoo. Her mother and seven other family members had traveled with her down the Erie Canal to Buffalo, New York. But in Buffalo, they weren't allowed on the boat because of the color of their skin.
What do we do now?
Her brother Isaac asked quietly. The question echoed in the frosty air. Nauvoo was still 800 miles, 1,287 kilometers away. They could give up and head home, or try to travel later. But Jane couldn't wait. She knew the Book of Mormon was true. God once again spoke through prophets. She needed to get to Nauvoo with her family. Jane squared her shoulders and looked westward.
We walk.
And walk they did, until their shoes wore out, until their feet cracked and bled and they had to pray to be healed. Sometimes they slept outside, and the frost was so heavy it felt like falling snow. Some people threatened to put them in jail, thinking that they were escaped slaves. They didn't know that the Mannings were a free black family. And still they walked, singing hymns to pass the time. They were nearing Nauvoo when they reached a river.
No bridge,
Isaac said. Jane nodded.
We'll just have to walk through it then.
As she stepped into the river, the water came up to her ankles. Slowly, she inched forward. The water swirled up to her knees and then past her waist. By the time she reached the middle of the stream, the water came up to her neck. Luckily, it didn't get deeper and all the Mannings crossed safely. At last, they came to Nauvoo. Jane could see the beautiful limestone walls of the Nauvoo Temple on a hill overlooking the valley. Even though it wasn't finished yet, it took her breath away. Someone directed them to the house where the prophet Joseph lived. A tall, dark-haired woman stood in the doorway.
Come in, come in,
she called.
I'm Emma Smith.
The next few minutes were a blur. Jane met the prophet, and he set up chairs around the room for all the Mannings. Jane sank into the chair gratefully and listened as Joseph introduced them to everyone there, including his friend Dr. Bernheisel. Then Joseph turned to Jane.
You have been the head of this little band, haven't you?
He asked.
Yes, sir,
answered Jane. Joseph smiled.
God bless you. Now I would like to hear about your travels.
Jane told about their injured feet and sleeping in the snow and crossing the river. Everyone listened quietly.
But it wasn't terrible. We went on our way rejoicing, singing hymns, and thanking God for his infinite goodness and mercy to us in blessing us, protecting us, and healing our feet.
There was silence for a moment.
What do you think of that, Doctor?
Joseph finally said, slapping the man's knee.
Isn't that faith?
If it had been me, I fear I should have backed out and returned to my home,
Dr. Bernheisel admitted. Joseph nodded and turned back to Jane and her family.
God bless you. You are among friends.
The author lives in Texas, USA. Jane Manning lived with Emma and Joseph Smith for several months. She married Isaac James, and they were among the early settlers of Utah Valley. She remained a faithful member of the church, even though she faced many challenges. When she died in 1908, President Joseph F. Smith, 1838 to 1918, spoke at her funeral.
End of the story, Jane's Journey. Read by Eden Reinwand, Shannon Nelson, Enzo Patello, Kate Strongen, Scott Christopher, and Van Farnworth.
Answers from an Apostle. How Can the Holy Ghost Help Me? By Elder Robert D. Hales. Of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. The Holy Ghost is the third member of the Godhead. He testifies of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. He speaks to our minds and hearts gently. We each might hear him differently. He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us knowledge and helps us remember important things. He teaches us, he gives us hope, he helps us do good. The Holy Ghost also helps us make important choices. He helps us be clean from sins. He comforts us. From The Holy Ghost, Ensign, May 2016, pages 105 through 107. End of the article, How Can the Holy Ghost Help Me?
Read by Mia Peterson.
From Paris to Sapporo, from an interview with Amy Jane Lovett. We live on different sides of the world, but we felt the same way when temples were built near us. My name is Rachel. I live near the Paris, France temple. The temple is really important to my family. Before the Paris temple was built, we would go on family trips to the Frankfurt, Germany temple several times a year. It took 10 hours to drive there and back. We loved watching the new temple be built. Every week after church, our parents drove by to let us see how the construction was going. First, they tore down an old building and dug a big hole. Then they started building the temple higher and higher. Soon, the house of the Lord was there. My siblings and I are excited to go to the temple someday. My oldest sister, Esther, gets to do baptisms first. We are all waiting anxiously for our turn to go too. We love the temple and are happy to have one in our very own city.
My name is Koshi. I live near the Sapporo, Japan temple. I loved sitting by a window in my house and watching the temple be built. During the open house, I invited my good friend to come with us. He thought everything was beautiful. I like to think of the temple dedication as his birthday. That day was also my birthday, and President Monson's too. My parents and I got to be in the temple when it was dedicated. I even got to meet President Nelson. I'm so grateful to live near the temple. When I have hard days at school, I can walk through the grounds on my way home. I feel Heavenly Father's love for me when I am there. I look forward to when I can go inside to do baptisms and later get married there. End of the article, From Paris to Sapporo, read by Maya Reinwand and Enzo Patello.
A true story written by you. The Temple Dedication by CJA HA Utah, USA. My first ever temple dedication was for the Provo City Center Temple. When I heard Elder Dallin H. Oaks first start speaking, I knew it would be wonderful, and it was. The first song and speaker I heard, my soul was filled with peace. As I took notes, I knew that what the apostles were saying was true. If you're young, I challenge you to take notes, not only at dedications, but at your church meetings too. I hope you feel the Spirit as much as I did at the Provo City Center Temple Dedication.
CTR Challenge. I will live now to be worthy to go to the temple and to do my part to have an eternal family. My Gospel Standards. Go to temples.lds.org to find a picture of a nearby temple. Draw it or print it out to put it in your room. Talk to someone you know who has done baptisms or been sealed in the temple. Write in your journal about why you want to go to the temple. I challenge myself to. End of the story, The Temple Dedication, read by Miles and Daniel McClellan.
Chantel, I had a hard time learning how to ride my bike without training wheels. I became scared to ride my bike because I had crashed a few times. I said a prayer on my bike and was able to learn how to ride it without being afraid. I'm grateful Heavenly Father blessed me. Reese H., age 6, Utah, USA.
I decided to collect and donate pet food for our local pet pantry program. I named it hashtag Operation Feed the Pets. It made me feel good to help families that need help feeding their pets. Julio A., age 7, Florida, USA.
Primary children in the Cobblestone Second Word Primary, Utah, USA, earned blocks by bringing their scriptures to church and by reading about Jesus and choosing the right. They built 12 different Book of Mormon scenes and had fun growing their testimonies of their scriptures.
I like to help my sister find clothes to wear to church on Sundays. Ephraim B., age 7, Rivers State, Nigeria.
Kylie E., age 11, Arizona, USA, said, Temples stand for T, testimonies, E, eternity, M, memories, P, peace, L, love, and E, eternal Father.
primary children in the Jackson, Mississippi stake, Mississippi, USA, built cardboard box temples for their stake family history day. As they built their own temples, they talked about what it would be like to build a real temple.
Filling the world with love. You sent so many hearts that were out of room on our map. But don't worry, we found something else to fill. Send us your heart. See page 15 to find out how.
Other contributors to Show and Tell: Thomas W., age 10, Colorado, USA. Paige O., age 10, Connecticut, USA. Malia B., age 9, Florida, USA. Ethan R., age 5, Wales. Natalie W., age 11, New Jersey, USA. Michaela G., age 10, California, USA. Brian K., age 7, Washington, USA. End of this month's Show and Tell. Read by Chloe Ocean and Enzo Patello.
Church History Figures, A New Prophet. Cut out these figures to help you share church history stories. In 1844, Joseph and Hiram Smith went to Carthage Jail to wait for a trial. Bad men broke into the jail and killed the prophet and his brother. The saints weren't sure who the next prophet should be. Later at a meeting where Brigham Young spoke, a miracle happened. Many people said that he looked and sounded just like Joseph Smith. They knew he would be the next prophet. Now we know that when a prophet dies, the president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles becomes the next prophet. Find more church history figures at lessonhelps.lds.org under the category Scripture Figures. End of the section, Church History Figures. Read by Miles McClellan.
Fun stuff. Find it. Nephi's brothers, Laman and Lemuel, got angry at him when they were crossing the ocean. Heavenly Father sent a big storm after they tied Nephi to the boat. Can you find the hidden objects? A spatula, a key, a jump rope, an envelope, a tie, a rake, a pencil, a golf club, a needle, a leaf, a comb, a mitten, a banana, a watch, a pencil, and a ruler. End of Fun Stuff. Find It. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's installment of Matt and Mandy, Mandy is struggling to understand her homework and is having discouraging thoughts.
Ugh, I just don't get this assignment. Why can't I be more like Abby? She's so smart, and everyone likes her.
Later at recess, Mandy sees Abby sitting alone on a bench and decides to talk with her.
Abby, are you okay?
It's nothing. I'm fine. You're really lucky.
Me? Lucky? But you're so smart and you have lots of friends and...
But not close friends like you do. And you always look so happy. I wish I could be more like you.
Later, Mandy tells Mom about her day.
I wonder if it's easier to see the good stuff in other people than in yourself. I think Abby and I both have a lot to be grateful for.
End of Matt and Mandy.
For older kids. Brain teaser. What has hands but can't clap? See page 39. Dear Journal, think of a time when you felt the Holy Ghost. Write about it. My haiku. Though a boy I am, yet a man I soon will be. Prepare and live clean. Ian T., age 12, California, USA. Quick quiz. Who said, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded? Can you find the verse? See page 39. Was it Laman, Lemuel, Nephi, or Mosiah? Think about it. Each of us may feel the influence of the Holy Ghost differently. Elder Robert D. Hales. Secret Service. Say something nice to 5 different people today. You could make someone's day with just kind words and a smile. Olivia S., age 11, Berlin, Germany. I make people laugh and smile throughout the day. End of the section for older kids. Read by Alyssa Peterson.
Finding Lydia by Lexi Borg, based on a true story. All of her friends were counting down to their 12th birthdays, but Lydia wasn't ready. I keep records of my loved ones on my own family tree, Children's Songbook, page 94. Lydia sighed as she kicked a pebble, sending it bouncing along the concrete. Her birthday was just a few days away. Usually she couldn't wait for her birthday, but not this year. This year she was turning 12, and that meant graduating from primary and going to Young Women. But Lydia didn't want to. She loved primary. She loved sitting with her class, and she loved her teacher's activities. Most of all, the primary chorister made learning songs so much fun. In Young Women, she wouldn't get to sing that much. All her friends were counting down to their 12th birthdays, but Lydia wasn't ready. Lydia found another little rock to kick. It skidded down the road ahead of her.
Why can't I just be excited like everyone else?
She thought. She had prayed to be happy and to know that going to Young Women would be a good change, but she didn't really feel like she'd gotten any answer yet. The pebble bounced into the grass. Lydia pushed it back onto the sidewalk with her toe.
You just need to focus on the good things,
her friend Maya had told her at school today.
What good things?
Lydia was trying to come up with some on her walk home. She liked being outdoors, and girls' camp sounded fun. She also loved the temple. Her family had been visiting the temple grounds since Lydia was little, so getting a temple recommend and doing temple baptisms, those were things to look forward to. Lydia counted on her fingers. Girls' camp, the temple, baptisms. That made three good things. But still, she wasn't ready to give up primary. She walked through the front door, sliding her jacket off her drooping shoulders.
Is that you, Lydia?
Mom called as Lydia closed the door.
Yeah, it's me.
She tried to sound happy, but she was still feeling pretty discouraged. Mom hurried into the room.
I have great news.
She'd worked on family history that afternoon. After hitting a couple of dead ends, she found a distant cousin who needed temple ordinances done.
It was like magic,
Mom said. She and Lydia had been looking on Family Search for a long time without finding anyone who needed temple ordinances done. Mom moved over to the computer and pointed at the screen.
I kept looking in her family line, and you have to see the next person I found.
Lydia rushed to the computer and read the name.
Lydia Elizabeth Graham.
Mom, she has my name!
Mom grinned.
I know. Plus, her husband and siblings all need temple ordinances done. Isn't it exciting that you're turning 12 just in time to help another Lydia get baptized?
Lydia felt so much more peaceful inside. Maybe this was an answer to her prayer. She could hardly wait to be baptized for Lydia. She hugged Mom and smiled.
Maybe turning 12 isn't so bad.
The author lives in Colorado, USA.
Climb your family tree. Visit FamilySearch.org with an adult to discover who is in your family tree. Don't leave it for others to do. Find family members by clicking on the Family Tree tab. You can view the chart different ways, like a fan or with lines. Check out pictures of your family members. Which ancestor do you look like the most? Read their documents and memories. Add your own if you have some.
End of the story, Finding Lydia. Read by Amelie Strongen, Maya Reinwand, Kara McClellan, and Wes Nelson.
Temple trip tips. Are you going to the temple for the first time after you turn 12? Here are some tips for a good trip. Get ready. Have an interview with your bishop. He will probably talk to you about your testimony and your feelings about Jesus. Ask someone you know about their first temple trip. Have someone help you find family members on FamilySearch.org who need temple ordinances done. If you can't find any, help a ward member with their family names. Get set. Pick out some clothes that you would wear to church and get them ready the day before. Put your recommend in a place where you won't forget to bring it. Put long hair in a braid or ponytail and bring a brush to use afterward. Go! Pray to feel the Spirit and pray for the people you are doing temple ordinances for. Listen to uplifting music on the way to the temple, like what you would listen to on Sunday. Don't worry about not knowing what to do. There will be people in the temple to help you every step of the way. If you have to wait, If you have to wait to go to the temple for any reason, it's okay. Heavenly Father loves you no matter what. Keep doing good things that help you feel the Spirit. Look forward to the time when you will go inside the temple. End of the article, Temple Trip Tips, read by Gabriel Reinwand.
Snacks and crafts, temple crafts. The Meridian, Idaho, and Cedar City, Utah temples will be dedicated later this year. Is one of these temples near you? At temple dedications, everyone waves a white handkerchief. Make either an embroidery or puff paint version of this special handkerchief to take with you to a dedication. Be sure to get an adult's help. Use a ruler and pencil to lightly trace the outline of a temple onto a handkerchief. Draw your own or use the pattern on this page. Place the handkerchief in an embroidery loop. For embroidery, cut an arm length of white embroidery floss and tie a knot on one end. Thread the other end through a needle. Follow this picture to sew backstitch, or use up and down stitches to sew on top of the pencil line. Tie a knot when you're done. For puff paint, use white puff paint to trace over the pencil line. Let dry for 4 to 6 hours. You'll need sugar cubes, school glue, and cardboard. Start your temple by gluing the first layer of cubes to cardboard. You could cut out a small hand-drawn Moroni statue, glue it to a toothpick, then glue it to the spire. End of the article, Temple Crafts, read by Eden Reinwand.
Worthiness worries. Matthew turned his head away, but the picture stuck in his mind. By Christine Merrill, based on a true story. Jesus is our loving friend. He is always near. Children's Songbook, page 58. Matthew's family went to New York City for spring break. He saw some really cool things, the Statue of Liberty, the Manhattan Temple, and a lot more. But he saw one thing that definitely wasn't cool, a huge ad on a building with a really immodest picture on it. Matthew turned his head away, but the picture stuck in his mind. He tried thinking about other things, but that just reminded him of what he was trying to forget. As weeks passed, he got more and more frustrated. Then, one night at dinner, Mom said something that made things even worse.
Matthew, I can't believe you're almost 12. It's time to have your bishop's interview for the Aaronic priesthood.
Dad smiled at Matthew.
I'll call and set it up.
Matthew stopped eating. What if he wasn't worthy to be a deacon because he couldn't forget the bad picture? Mom and Dad kept smiling and talking. They didn't seem to notice anything was wrong. A few days later, Matthew overheard Mom talking to Grandma on the phone.
Matthew seems to be worried about turning 12. Maybe he's worried about passing the sacrament.
So, Mom had noticed. Would he get in trouble if she knew what was really wrong? After Mom said bye to Grandma, Matthew sat down on the couch.
I heard you talking about me, seeming worried and stuff.
He took a deep breath. Then he blurted everything out. About how hard he'd tried to forget what he'd seen, but couldn't.
Maybe I'm not ready to be a deacon.
Mom put her arm around him.
First, you need to know that you didn't sin by seeing that picture. It wasn't your fault. Also, being worthy doesn't mean being perfect.
Part of Matthew's worry disappeared, but not all.
So, then why is it so hard to get that picture out of my head? Why does it make me feel so bad?
Well, it still hurt your spirit. And it might take a while for those thoughts to fade away. But the great news is that Jesus Christ's atonement can help heal us from everything, even things that aren't our fault. Do you remember the scripture you learned from the primary program?
Yeah, Alma 7:11. It says that Jesus takes people's pains and sicknesses.
That means he can help you feel better again. You've felt a lot of pain lately, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, you can pray and ask for his help. And you can have faith that he wants to help you and can help you. You can't do it by yourself.
Matthew nodded. The whole time he'd been fighting bad thoughts, he hadn't wanted to pray. He'd felt too embarrassed. That night, he knelt and asked Heavenly Father to help him stop thinking about what he'd seen and to help him feel worthy to have the Aaronic priesthood. Then he fell asleep faster than he had in a long time. On Sunday, Matthew got dressed for his interview with the bishop. He felt happy and thankful for Jesus Christ's atonement. Now, when the bishop asked if he was ready to receive the priesthood, he knew he could answer,
"Yes." Bad thoughts? Try this. 1. Tell a parent or trusted adult as soon as possible. You don't have to carry the bad thought alone. 2. Tell Heavenly Father about it and ask for His help. 3. Imagine putting the bad thought in the balloon and letting it float away. 4. Do something fun or something to help someone. 5. Read a story from the friend or learn about something you're interested in.
End of the story. Worthiness Worries. Read by Van Farnworth, Roseanne Peterson, Austin Peterson, and Enzo Patello.
A true story written by you. Hoping Out One Pencil at a Time. By Caleb H., age 10, Germany. It all started when my stake set up a project to help refugees. I really liked the project, so I asked my mom to tell my school teacher about it, and my teacher wanted to do something with the fourth grade. To set the example for the project, my sister Maddie and I went door to door asking for donations. The day came to present the project to the rest of the fourth grade. I was a bit nervous. Actually, I was super freaked out, but I did my best. I told all the other fourth graders what we needed for school kits for the refugees. I told about how we went door to door, and I gave them a challenge to try to do better than me in raising money. Together we made over 100 kits. We put in notebooks, pencils, and other school supplies. We also added a note to say, "Welcome to Germany." My mom and I took the kits to the refugee camp. I wouldn't say the camp was nice, but there was a playground and an area for learning academics. There was a train next to the camp that was really loud, and the kids told me it sounded like jets flying by in Syria and other places like that. Maybe it sounded like bombs to the kids who had heard them in their home countries. I met a few kids at the camp my age, including Daniel, an awesome chess player. I didn't get to play chess against him, which was too bad because I love chess. But they invited me to play foosball and ping pong. The boys told me that they missed their homes and really wanted to leave the camp and go to school again. After we played foosball and ping pong, we handed out the kits. I felt good that I could do something. I feel good that I could do something kind for the kids who lived at the camps. End of the story, Hoping Out, One Pencil at a Time. Read by Miles McClellan.
For parents of little ones, your children may have heard the primary song that says, "Reverence is more than just quietly sitting." And yet, they may think that being reverent just means hold still and be quiet. How can you help little ones experience the deeper, sweeter blessings of reverence? Here are some ideas. 1. Point out times when they are feeling a sense of awe and reverence, gently holding a newborn baby, stargazing for the first time, or hearing a story about Jesus. How do you feel inside? Can you tell me about those warm feelings? That is reverence. 2. Teach them words that go along with reverence. Words like love, respect, or thankfulness. For older children, you might ask them to draw pictures of those words. 3. Help them think about how being reverent helps others listen. When you are trying to listen to a story, does it help if others are quiet? What if others are noisy? Explain that they can help church be a reverent, happy place where people listen and learn about Heavenly Father. 4. Little ones need lots of practice being reverent. Set a timer for a minute or two and invite them to listen to soft music or a story about Jesus. Share your feelings of reverence and love. You can read past letters at friendfplo.lds.org. End of For Parents of Little Ones. Read by Pat Murray.
Poem, I Like to Help, by Debbie Petty. On Monday, Mommy washed the clothes. I helped her fold the socks. On Tuesday, Daddy dug a hole. I helped him carry rocks. Wednesday night, I helped my sister put away the dishes. On Thursday, Brother had a chore. I helped him feed his fishes. Friday, after school's out, we raked up all the leaves. On Saturday, Dad washed the car, and I helped him find his keys. Sunday is a Sabbath day. We rest from all our chores. But I'll be ready Monday, so I can help some more. End of the poem, I Like to Help, read by Gabriel Reinwand.
Helping Mrs. Booster, by Jennifer Maddie. Mrs. Booster's yard is lots of leaves, Jackson says. Want to wake with me, Ryan? Jackson asks. No thanks, says Ryan. Woo! This is hard work, says Jackson. Thanks for helping me, Ryan. Thank you so much, says Mrs. Booster. We're happy to help, says Jackson and Ryan. End of the story, Helping Mrs. Booster. Read by Gabe Strongen.
Stories of Jesus. Jesus Visited Joseph Smith, by Kim Webb Reed. Many years after Jesus was resurrected, a boy named Joseph Smith had a question. He didn't know which church he should go to. Joseph read the Bible. It said that Heavenly Father will answer our questions if we pray to Him. Joseph went to the woods and prayed to Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father and Jesus came down from heaven. Jesus said, Joseph should not join any of the churches because they were not teaching all the things that were part of his church. When Joseph grew up, he helped bring Jesus' church back to earth. It is called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It helps people learn about Jesus and Heavenly Father. Reading the scriptures teaches me more about Heavenly Father. When I pray, He can answer my prayers too. End of the article, Jesus Visited Joseph Smith, read by Noah Strongen.
Ashland's Family Tree, by Robin Butters, based on a true story. Ashlyn was excited to show Grandma what she got in primary.
Look, Grandma, it's my tree.
Grandma smiled.
Your family tree.
Ashlyn nodded. The tree had seven faces connected by lines.
Which one are you, Grandma?
Grandma pointed to the tree.
I'm here, and Grandpa is here. This one is your dad. We're his parents.
Who's here?
Grandma and Grandpa Clark. They're your mom's parents.
And this is me.
Ashlyn pointed to the picture at the bottom.
You're right.
But where are Jace and Maggie?
It doesn't show brothers and sisters.
Ashlyn thought about that. Sometimes Maggie pulled Ashlyn's hair. Sometimes Jace wanted to draw on her notebook. But Ashlyn was still glad to have them in her family. She drew two more faces next to her on her family tree.
I made it even better,
Ashlyn told Grandma. She pointed to where she had drawn Maggie and Jace. Grandma put her arm around Ashlyn.
I think you made a perfect family tree.
The author lives in Utah, USA.
End of the story, Ashlyn's Family Tree. Read by Kara McClellan, Shannon Nelson, and Charlene Stewart.